it's not that when you're in business, all of a sudden you're making all this amount of money. No, many small business people are in business because they genuinely care about the community and the people that they serve. It's that connection to the local community that helps drive the relationship with our small business owners.
Thank you for joining us for another in a series of NFIB California podcasts, taking a deeper look into the issues affecting the state's small business owners. I'm Tony Melandra, NFIB California's Senior Media Manager. We're proud to have this podcast supported in part by Five Star Bank, serving customers through specialized banking solutions for entrepreneurs, business owners, and community leaders in Northern California. It has been NFIB's educational mission for 78 years to remind policymakers that small businesses are not smaller versions of big businesses, and that a one-size-fits-all rule, regulation, or tax can do Main Street enterprises more harm than good. Each podcast invites a special guest to speak on a topic of his or her expertise. Today's guest fundamentally understands the struggles small businesses face, and Main Street enterprises are blessed to have one of the most influential and effective members of the State Assembly in their corner. Here to tell you about him is NFIB California's Chief Legislative Advocate, Kevin Pedrotti, who has been working the halls of the Capitol for causes and clients for four decades.
Thank you, Assemblymember, for being with us today. We've known each other for some time. We've known each other when you were a county supervisor and now a member of the state legislature. But I think what might be interesting to our listeners is the fact that you were a tribal leader for many years, and maybe just explain what that entails.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. Certainly, I grew up and I still reside on the San Manuel Indian Reservation in Southern California, near Redlands, Highland, San Bernardino area, on the foothills. I served in many capacities, an elected position, for close to 15 years, ultimately leading to being chairman of the people of Santos Manuel. But early on, when I was first elected as chairman of the Gaming Commission, when our businesses started to move forward, we were entrusted to build minimum internal control standards, qualities of the games, making sure that those moved forward and being able to attest to those. And I worked with then Deloitte and Touche and Arthur Anderson. Those that know those names know that that was some time back when we worked together on minimum internal controls. Then I moved forward and sat on the Tribal Elected Business Committee, where we moved forward on accounting procedures. I attained my accounting degree from Cal State University, San Bernardino, and my master's in business administration from the University of Redlands, and then became the tribe's first elected treasurer for our tribal government and served in that role, and then ultimately tribal chairman. And along the way, knowing through the education, the business practices that were needed on the tribal government and throughout Indian country itself, goes back to our upbringing of understanding business and how to make sure that we're moving things forward in a genuine manner. My tribal government, when I grew up on the San Manuel Indian Reservation, I went to local schools there, I have many friends in the area. It was totally different than the way the San Manuel government looks today. We grew up, we were probably one of the most poverty-stricken areas in Southern California when I grew up there. We grew up in mobile homes. There was a dirt wash that was there by our house. And other reservations brought us food, brought us some different gifts to us. So we were pretty impoverished on some of those areas. And it was the nonprofits in our local area, the junior JCs and other nonprofits and Loma Linda University Medical, that would come out to the reservation and share with us and give us different opportunities to move forward, so much so that the young JCs helped build the first community center as a whole on the San Manuel Indian Reservation. And growing up and rising to the level of tribal chairman was something that's an honor for me, and an honor to continue to advocate on behalf of our ancestors in the state of California.
And I think you do a really good job at that, Assembly Member. And also, I think that your experience has really helped make you a strong advocate for small business in our state. One of the conversations that we had a time back was you were telling me that you started a business with your grandmother. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, on the Indian Reservation during that time, there was different business ventures that tried to move forward. The tribe ended up leasing out some land to Jerry and Ann Buckos from the Del Rosa area that's in the area of San Bernardino. They herded up horses behind our trailers and they had horse stables, and people were able to come from the community and ride on a horse for 30 minutes or even for an hour ride in the back of the reservation. My grandmother wanted to start a snack shack. So it was in the back of our mobile home in our yard that we built that snack shack, and we started selling fried bread, soda pop, candy bars. And it was then that I would go to the store and get soda pop, 50 cents a can, and we would sell it for 75 cents, making a quarter, right? So I was like, this is something we could get into, right? And so we see candy bars. Back then, I think the candy bars were the 25 cents or 50 cents, but we sold them for 75 cents, right? People coming off their horses, they wanted something to drink, soda pop, candy, and then we have fried bread selling. So that was my first introduction into the business arena. But ultimately, what really stood out to me was that you had to take care of the customer coming to the window, because if you didn't, they wouldn't be coming back. So we made sure that they had the napkins, they made sure that they had whatever they needed, and I would run out there. They would send me out there to make sure they had the forks and all those things. And so customer satisfaction is something that's been instilled in me from that young age. And my grandmother, we did sell the fried bread and soda pop. And now, I mean, if you sell soda, 75 cents for a can of soda pop, I mean, we're spending, I think, close to $2 now just to get right to that soda pop. So.
And Assemblymember, you know, you've had a successful career as a tribal leader and an elected politician, but also some might not know that you've also started a number of other small businesses as well that are still operating today.
Yeah, so the one that's still operating today is Pepito's drive-through restaurant. It's a fast food burrito place in the city of Highland. I've ran Yum Yum Restaurant in the city of San Bernardino for many years. I think it was in 2002 that we actually started that business and continue to run that. And then last year, we made some decisions on that. Prior to that, too, I also had some coffee shops, right? GFE coffee houses, one out by Cal State University San Bernardino and one in the city of Highland. And that was a great experience, because having a full sit-down restaurant, a full restaurant, you have to have cost of goods, you got to have all this different things, walk-in refrigerators, temperatures, all that stuff. And I thought with coffee, well, it's one product, right? And it limited down the menu. We had sandwiches. We had all those different things. And that's where, you know, a lot of the bills that we'll talk about in the future as far as franchise tax fees and those types of things comes from firsthand knowledge, right? And even on the County Board of Supervisors, trying to push for more of a uniform inspection type deal to make sure that everybody's working together. They all come from my experiences with the businesses that we've had and seeing how that impact is there. One, I know we'll dive into it a little bit later, but it was always frustrating that we would have someone come inspect, right? And mark us for not having a sink and a mop ready to go, when the prior inspector okayed for a sink to be over here, but now they wanted it here. And so that was always frustrating. And so I'm trying to build a better communication with small businesses and those that are coming in from the health department to make sure that we're getting the same message. Because as a business owner, you're left trying to make sure that you're accommodating those requests that are there. And when there's a mixed message of mop sink here, and then the next inspector says, no, it needs to be over here, it costs money. And to some might think, well, maybe that's just $50, $100, but that's $100 to a small business that means a lot.
We would agree with that, Assembly Member. I think that the experiences that you have had has really, really enlightened other legislators as to what goes on in small business. And that's why I think you're looked upon as a leader in this area. NFIB worked with you last year and again this year, trying to get some liability protection over COVID. for when businesses start to reopen again. Unfortunately, you know, the Judiciary Committee wouldn't set those bills, and I guess that maybe we just try again next year. But it sure gets frustrating when, you know, we try to do something and we just get shut down before we even get a hearing.
It truly is frustrating. Last session, we pushed the bill that you alluded to that would protect small businesses with 25 employees or less. And why? And the argument was, debate was, 25 employees or less is something the states already agreed upon. When they moved forward with the minimum wage increase, right, they let businesses with 25 employees or less have that extra year to catch up. So there was already that type of proceeding bill that set that at that point. So our bill followed that guideline, and we got a lot of support on it. However, that bill in the last days of session got caught up in a lot of different discussion that was going on during the last days of session. We ultimately were looking at another bill that the debate has always been, when we get into it, what constitutes small business? I keep pushing 25 employees or less because that makes up pretty close to 25-20-something% of the businesses in the state, right? And so we want to continue to move that dialogue forward. We moved forward again on COVID-19 protection for small businesses, 25 employees or less, and included nonprofits. That bill was referred out of rules, which we sit on, to Judiciary Committee. Originally, they were saying they weren't going to hear it. We made a strong argument of why for COVID protection, small businesses are struggling. Many small businesses that have closed up have not even reopened, and they're probably not going to. So then we finally got them to move and grant us a hearing date. We were all excited, ready to go in and plead our case, and then we get called again. Well, no, we're not going to set it. The reason being that was given to me was because the federal government is doing so much grants and things to businesses, we want to make sure that this isn't one of those areas that someone could double dip into. Well, even at double dip, look at all the options in front of them. So we're holding them to that. And so we're waiting to see what comes out of the federal government. Our bill that still is in judiciary can become a two-year bill, which means that we'll be watching what's coming out of the federal government. And if it doesn't line up to what this bill is saying, we're going to be requesting pretty strongly that that bill gets set coming up in January. But we're not done advocating yet on behalf of small businesses. The more that we talk about small businesses and the impact and sticking to that 25 employees or less, because it was already done with minimum wage laws, we're gaining people to start to see that, right? But we need more to not just see it, stand up with their voice to be heard and stand up for small businesses in general.
Well, when NFIB surveys its members, we find out that, you know, fear of being sued is one of the biggest issues that they vote on. Yeah. So, you know, we applaud you for pursuing that, and we'll be by your side when we try to get it set again for next year.
Hi, I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. We are excited to help bring you this series of podcasts focused on small business concerns in conjunction with the NFIB. When Five Star Bank was founded in 1999, it was business and community leaders, local entrepreneurs, who wanted to create the sort of personalized banking services they desired themselves. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. A true understanding of the needs of small business owners. I know a meaningful relationship with a banker can be hard to find. At Five Star Bank, we are responsive, understand your business, and are committed to your success. We want to be a part of your growth and a valued partner supporting your vision and your dreams. You'll find direct access to a banker, complete online and mobile business banking you need to succeed. As an SBA preferred lender, let us help you with your startup business or existing business. If you're looking to make a change, please give us the opportunity to demonstrate what our personalized banking services could mean for you. I promise you individual attention from our colleagues who understand your business and are as committed to your success as you are. You can find us online at fivestarbank.com.
The other thing that, you know, you've been really mindful of is minimum franchise tax fees, and you had a bill this year I believe it was AB 632 that provided some sort of franchise tax relief for businesses based upon their size or their profits. That bill, too, got scuttled because of questioned from the money that the state's going to receive from the federal government and whether tax relief could be provided and the state still receive federal funding. I hope that now that we have some clarification in those areas, maybe next year, that's another thing that we could pursue.
Definitely. This bill actually is a bill that we ran last session also along with Senator Porrentino, and we got it off the assembly floor and off the Senate. And then when it made its way to the governor, it was pushed back. So this bill has made it through the legislature. But now, using the term of federal funding and how that's going to affect some of these bills moving forward to help business and small business in particular, for me, is something that we're watching. So we are in a two-year cycle, right? So every bill that we introduce that now doesn't get a hearing doesn't mean the bill's done. We could actually ask for that hearing to come back up in January. So that it's a two-year cycle. If it was next year, then we would be done in September. So when they give us that argument back that they're watching the federal funding, right, double dipping type deal, well, that's great. We're going to be watching it too. And if it doesn't come to fruition the way you think, we're going to be pushing pretty hard to set these bills for a hearing. So now with the bills that we're talking about, AB 247, and AB 632, if there's ways to get letters in of support for those two bills, only helps us in our argument to try to get those bills set for a hearing. Once we're able to clear up, right, what is and what isn't coming from the federal funding. So if there's a chance to do that, I would deeply appreciate it. And one of the other reasons why I'm so big and strong and pushing for protection for small businesses, COVID relief, those types of things, frivolous lawsuits, is because in my restaurant, Yum Yum Restaurant, we had different cases on ADA compliance, right? And so that came through a wave. Ultimately agreed in a settlement to redo the restaurant to make it totally ADA compliant. And I know what it's like to have to go through that strenuous activity. And it's right to have accommodations, but sometimes it goes a little too far in the understanding of small businesses and the capital that they have to make those improvements in a timely manner. And some would think it should be done right away, 30 days, 2 months. Sometimes it takes you some time to get there, maybe a couple years. There should be some understanding of that from a small business perspective. The mentality that many have is that if you're in business, you're making money. Well, I bust the tables at my own restaurant. I even tried to do the short order cook, and the cooks pushed me back to bust the tables and do the dishwashing, right? But I've done it, swept the floors. It's not that when you're in business, all of a sudden you're making all this amount of money. No, many small business people are in business because they genuinely care about the community and the people that they serve. It's that connection to the local community that helps drive the relationship with our small business owners that many times live and grew up in the communities that they're now serving.
That's really good. And I'm hopeful that your colleagues in the legislature listen to that when you speak. You know, you're such a great advocate for small business in the state assembly and also the entire legislature. What kind of advice would you give other small businesses so that they could become their own best advocate?
I think with small businesses, continue to reach out to your electeds at all levels. And when electeds do come forward and say they support small business, let's make sure that those of us that truly do know who they are so we can reach out and make sure we're all moving together in one unified voice. And small businesses, continue to reach out, right? Reach out to the different public comments, reach out to me, make sure that we understand what it is that you're truly going through. I mean, with this COVID-19 and pandemic and now being able to go from the 25% in San Bernardino County up to 50%, what are the hindrances that you're seeing? Are you able to open up right away? I remember when all this was happening in the beginning, and it's still happening to many businesses, I reached out and tried to learn what was going on so we could be a better advocate. Some cities were opening up the parking lots, right, in front of the businesses so they could have outdoor eateries. And some, we found in the state of California, were trying to charge fees to businesses in order to have that extra space in the front of them. And we said, no, wait a minute. If you're going to charge them a fee to continue to generate revenue that goes back into those cities and municipalities, there's a problem. Just like they're telling me, double dipping with funding coming through, we stood up and said, that sounds like double dipping against the businesses. So a lot of them started to back away from that. And so understanding that and having an advocate to even talk at the local level about these issues is something that we would appreciate, and reach out to your elected members as business owners. Then came the closing of streets. Some cities in my district closed full streets and actually allowed for those big tents to come out, and eateries were able to move forward. Those types of ideas that you have to continue to move forward. And I say this too, to all the small business owners out there, that what you went through during this pandemic and what you've seen and how you survived, make sure you're documenting that, because then that gives us the opportunity to push for ordinances, different laws that we could relax during these times that helps you to be successful. Because if it's one thing that we've learned through this pandemic, that this might not be the only time that we go through this. But if we didn't learn how to make it more proficient, more able for the businesses to survive during this time, and not introduce pieces of legislation or work with our local counterparts to make sure that when a pandemic comes our way again, that the business community is ready to withstand that pandemic and to continue to generate revenue for your business and to be able to generate revenue for the communities that we all serve. That type of information is vital, not only here at the state level, but at your local level too.
Yeah, well, Assemblyman, that's excellent advice, and we don't want to take any more of your time today. We thank you for joining NFIB and their 15,000 members throughout the state. We thank you, and we thank you for your advocacy as a state legislator, and we look forward to working with you more on more successful legislation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Assemblymember James Ramos, for making the time to inform our membership and other small business owners. You can find all of NFIB California's podcasts at nfib.com/ca/podcasts. Again, that's nfib.com/ca/podcasts. You can also find our podcast on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. I would like to thank Multipoint Content Strategies for its production of this podcast. You can learn more about them at multipointstrategies.com. All one word, multipointstrategies.com. Thank you again to Five Star Bank for your generous support. And thank you to our listeners. If you liked what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a thumbs up.